Today is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, and the scripture readings, scripture lessons are from Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 15, and the Gospel of John chapter 6, verses 22 through 35. Today's message is titled, Whatcha Gonna Do? Hear the word from Exodus chapter 16. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt! There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in. And that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Here ends the first lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent." So they asked Him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From liturgy used by Christians in worship over 1,600 years ago, let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. The people have been set free by the mighty hand of the Lord God. The people, the Israelites, were delivered from slavery. The power of Egypt was brought to its knees as the gods of Egypt were shown to be only ineffective stone statues. Now, these same Israelites are grumbling against Moses and Aaron, groaning, "It would have been better to die by the Lord's hand in Egypt," as they recalled the pots of meat and where they ate all the food that they wanted, looking back and forgetting as their tummies growled in the present in the desert, complaining that Moses had brought them into the desert to starve them to death. Death in the desert. That's what's going to happen. How quickly they forgot the power of the mighty hand of the Lord. The Lord says to Moses, it is written in Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." Moses and Aaron said all to Israel that in the evening they will know that it was the Lord who brought them out of Egypt. In the morning, they will see the glory of the Lord. How? You will know it is the Lord when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning. The Lord has heard the grumbling. It is the Lord, not us, not Moses and Aaron. It is the Lord you are grumbling against, not us you are grumbling against. It is the Lord you are grumbling against the Lord. This is a lesson for you and I, for us to take to heart when we hear the word of the Lord. When it is written in the Scriptures, what the Lord declares, what is right and do good, and what the Lord has written and declares in the Word, what is sinful and an abomination and should not be done. It is the Lord that has declared what is good. It is the Lord that has declared what is sinful and an abomination It is the Lord who declared what actions and behavior are sin, are an abomination before the Lord. No matter what form of linguistic gymnastics you take of saying, they didn't know what we know today, it was the Lord who spoke and gave the commands. It was the Lord who said these things are an abomination. The argument that they didn't know, that the people back then did not understand as we do, it is a straw man argument. All you need to know is this: it is the Lord you are grumbling against. The Lord delivered quail that evening. The next morning, as the dew lifted, thin flakes like frost appeared on the ground of the desert. What is it? All Israel asked. Moses answered, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Gather it as you need. And this is what happened. It's written in Exodus chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much. And he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. The Lord provided as much as each one needed. Many years later, on a hillside above the Sea of Galilee, the Lord provided as much as anyone, as much as each one needed. As we heard from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, last week, with the 5 loaves and 2 fish feeding the multitudes till all were satisfied. With 12 baskets full of leftovers of fish and pieces, broken pieces of bread that was collected. 12 baskets. The Gospel of John chapter 6 also records this event, adding detail such as the 5 loaves were 5 small barley loaves. And the 2 fish, they were small fish. And the loaves, barley loaves, small barley loaves, and those small 2 fish were provided by a boy. John also adds the detail. Gospel of John also has the detail that the Passover feast was near. And the people were following Jesus for the miraculous signs of healings Jesus had performed. And it is also John that adds the detail that after being fed, being satisfied and completely filled up their tummies, the people wanted to make Jesus, to take Jesus by force because he had fed them, to take Jesus by force and make him king so he will keep feeding them. Jesus withdraws up into the mountain wilderness by himself, and the disciples head out across the lake. Our gospel reading from John chapter 6 today picks up from the action of the next day, that the crowd realized that Jesus nor his disciples were no longer there. So they head over to Capernaum to search for Jesus. They find him. Let's pick up the action in John chapter 6 as John tells it. John chapter 6, beginning of verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are not looking for me. I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Listen carefully to that diagnosis Jesus gives of the situation and take it to heart. Take it to heart in your own life. Jesus declares the truth. He says, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. They were looking for Jesus because they ate the loaves and had their fill. Their tummies were filled, and they were looking for him to do it again and again and again. The truth, Jesus tells us, is they're looking for him to provide their next meal, and the next one after that, next, keep providing meals for me. And they showed they were totally unaware of what actually took place. unable to see that creative glory of the living God that was displayed on the hillside the previous day. 5 small barley loaves, 2 small fish, feeding the multitudes with 12 baskets filled with pieces of leftovers, a display of the glory that the one who lifted up the loaves and the fish is very God, a very God. Totally missing, the great I Am was there. The Lord of all creation was present. The power that from nothing brought forth all of creation was displayed before them. And all they could see, all they could think of was their tummies were full and satisfied, and they wanted more. How human nature does not change through the eons. For years before, the Israelites who witnessed and experienced the mighty hand of the Lord on full display through the 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea so they could cross on dry ground to freedom were soon complaining about their empty, hungry tummies and thirsty tongues, not counting on the power of the Lord who delivered them would be the power that would see them safely to the promised land. Their eyes turned from the mighty Lord God to their tummies growling with hunger. What have you done for me lately, O Lord? My tummy's empty, my tummy's hungry. What have you done lately for me, O Lord? How often do we fall into that same thought, that same frame of mind? Do something for me, Lord, and do it now. Exodus chapter 16, the Lord in the evening provided quail, and in the morning provided the bread the Lord has given to eat. This is what the people hearken back to as they respond to Jesus, as recorded in John chapter 6. Jesus told the truth that they were searching for him because they had had their fill from the loaves. Then Jesus asked, John chapter 6, verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Jesus is attempting to refocus their sight, to see what is more important, to see what is of greater value, not the bread that filled their tummies, but the one who provided the bread to fill their tummies, the one who has come to provide the food that lasts to eternal life. In the Greek, a wordplay is taking place in verse 27. It's missed in the English. The word translated as spoiled in the phrase, "Do not work for food that spoils," in the Greek means permanent absolute destruction. That means eternally perish. Contrasted with food that endures to eternal life. That food that endures to eternal life means both physical life present and of spiritual life. That spiritual existence that is to come. Which food to work for? Food that cannot give life but leads to eternal death, or food that gives life, that goes on to eternal life. Life that continues into eternity. Eternal death or eternal life is the contrast that's laid before the people by Jesus. Food that spoils, that leads to death, or the food that endures to life eternal. That word plays missed in the English, but there it is in the Greek. Which food? Jesus shows the food that they had come looking for does not have the ability to provide eternal life, the food that fills their tummies. Whereas the Son of Man will give the food that lasts into eternal life. The sign, the miracle of feeding of the multitudes the day before, is to point their eyes to Jesus who is the Son of Man. that will provide the food for eternal life. As long as they are looking for their tummies being filled, they will miss seeing before them is the Lord, is God, as shown by the sign from the other side of the lake the previous day. John chapter 6, starting at verse 28. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Okay, they're starting to get the picture. From the Greek word order, they ask, "What must we do that we may be doing the works of God?" What must we do that we may be doing the works of God? In other words, how must we live, act daily? How must we live life? How should we live life that we may be doing the works of God? That's the question they ask. Jesus answers them, "This is the work of God, that you should believe in him whom he has sent." Believe in him whom he has sent. That's the work. Simply said, the work of God is living life that fully has faith in whom God has sent. Have faith, trust, believe. The one standing before them, Jesus, is whom God has sent. Come to Jesus for whom Jesus truly is. Not for the bread that fills your tummy. Not for the healings that Jesus can do. Those are signs. Those are miracles. As fabulous and wondrous as they are, they are simply pointers to the reality of who is actually present. There, before them, present before them. Come to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. For Jesus is the one sent by God. Falling on deaf ears, these words of Jesus were. Instead of listening and responding with faith that believes, they ask for another sign. They ask for a sign, totally ignoring that display of creative power, feeding the multitudes, that sign of feeding the multitudes, feeding them the day before. Fast forgetfulness. Fast forgetfulness. How often does that happen to you and I too? How fast we forget the wonders of God. John chapter 6, starting at verse 30. So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." The word translated as sign, in the Greek it means a sign given, especially to confirm, corroborate, or authenticate. The emphasis is on the purpose. The purpose of the action, the sign, is to exalt the one who is giving the sign. This word is used in the New Testament for what authenticates the Lord, shows that Jesus truly is the Lord, the Son of God, especially doing what we cannot do, what we cannot replicate, and what we can never take any credit for. Jesus has done things that are signs that we cannot do. For Jesus is God. 5 loaves, 2 fish, feeding the multitudes. Could you do that? I certainly can't. Neither could they, but Jesus did. And they're there asking for another sign. What sign will you do? How soon they forget. Note that the crowd was mindful of the scriptures, and they knew the scripture of Exodus chapter 16, the manna from heaven. Manna was provided in the wilderness. As the bread was provided in the wilderness on that day before on the other side of the sea. Bread in the wilderness, bread in the wilderness. Let's make that connection. Manna provided in the wilderness. As the bread was provided in the wilderness. The day before is the reason for recalling this event from Scripture. Tying the two together. Next Sunday, we'll delve more into Jesus being that true bread from heaven as he tells us he is. For the gospel reading next week will be from John chapter 6, picking up again at verse 35. And next week will be the focus on Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. So this morning, I want to bring your attention back to John chapter 6, verse 29, when Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. They asked for what works, plural. Jesus answered, the work, singular. Pulling from the pulpit Bible commentary, this one thing, the work of believing that continues through all life, that effort to habitually and always to trust oneself to the power and grace of God, to make a full moral surrender of the soul to the Lord. That's the one work, to fully trust, fully surrender to the Lord. In other words, believe, the inbirthing of faith from which all of life, your life, my life, all of life will now flow because we believe. That aspect from the scripture is found in James chapter 2 when it is written, I will show you my faith by what I do. Or in other words, I will show you what I believe by how I live. That's the work. The work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he has sent. In other words, it's more than just, I believe. It's a whole change of life. To believe in the one he has sent, the one God has sent, is a work that is all-encompassing of all of life and all of your reality. It's not a mere intellectual consent. Yeah, I believe Jesus is sent by God, and then have no regard for the way one lives. Rather, it's a whole life of mind, heart, body, and soul expressing, I believe. A wholeness of my life, my mind, my heart, my soul, expressing, I have faith. I trust Jesus is the one God has sent. That whole aspect, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord of life. That's the one work. That's the one work of believing. Believing Jesus is the one the Father sent. Believing Jesus is the crucified and risen Christ, the Lord. Doing the one work that has this reality in your life. It's more than spiritual. This one work of believing Jesus is the Christ, the reality then works out into all aspects of your life. It flows into everything of everyday, ordinary, practical life. From doing dishes to sweeping the floor, as Brother Lawrence has said, practicing the presence of God many years ago, to how you fold clothes, how you drive your car, how you treat people, how you stand in the grocery line, do not take more than 20 items through the item line that says no more than 20 items. You've experienced that, haven't you? Boy, they can't count. No, that's what it means. This whole aspect of life, the work of believing, it impacts all of you because it flows from the inbirthing of faith. I believe. The one work of believing Jesus is the Christ is a transforming work in your life. The inbirthing of faith by God's grace. It is a work of God and God alone. It flows into all you are and all you will become. The old life is gone. The new life is come, as Scripture says. So what you gonna do? What you gonna do? In other words, how are you going to live out the truth you believe? And the fullness of that indwelling faith be expressed in everything you say and do. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your life. That's what Jesus is saying
Work for the things that the true fruit provides, that faith that He will give you, that food He will give you that leads to eternal life. A lot of times people just want a smidgen of Jesus in their life, just enough to season Jesus. And Jesus can come to this part of my life, but the major part of my life, He has no say. Is that doing the work that Jesus expresses here? It's not. It's Jesus having fullness of all your life, living for Christ, dying in Christ. All that you are and all that you'll become from faith that God has given you by His grace. That's what it is doing the work, that one work that God has says. The work of God is this, to the believe in the one He has sent. And what does that really mean? That work really means give all of your life, all you are, all you will ever be, is the Lord's. And let the wonder of Christ work through you. So you won't work for fame and fortune and the things of life that pass by. Even gold and silver and bronze medals, they pass by. You can't take them with you. But work for the things that can go on for eternity. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. So the redeeming grace that came in your life comes into their life. And so they experience the food that endures to eternal life that you experience and shortly will be fed with the body of Christ. So what you gonna do? I will do the work of Christ. I will do the work that God says here. The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. Amen. And amen.